Scripture verse by verse. My name is Michael Moret, and today we continue going verse by verse through the book of Colossians. We resume our study in chapter 1, verse 18 today. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Colossians chapter 1. Let's actually begin our reading in verse 17, talking about Jesus. It says, "And he is before all things, and in him all things consist," or as we saw last time, that means all things hold together. And then it says in verse 18 that he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Jesus is the head of the body, the church. Jesus, in other words, is the brains of this outfit. Talking about the church. He's the head. He's the control center. And he instructs his church through the written word of God. And that's why. To be successful. As God measures success. Not necessarily how man measures success, but as God measures success, Jesus must be in charge of our lives. He must be directing our actions and our words as a head directs the members of the body. That's when the body functions the best. And that's when the Christian functions the best as well. Verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell." Jesus is the complete and total eternal God in a human body. Jesus is not one-third God with the Father and the Holy Spirit making up the other two-thirds. All the fullness dwells in Jesus. And speaking of that word fullness, in the Greek, the original language, that word is pleroma. Now remember last time I told you that one of the heresies in the Colossian church was that in order to get to God, you had to climb a series of created beings, stepping stones, emanations from the Father, and then eventually you made your way up to God. And Jesus, they said, was just one of these stepping stones, one of these beings. Well, the sum total of all those beings was called the pleroma. And so the entirety of all those beings was called the pleroma. The Holy Spirit, though, says, no, you got it wrong. Jesus is the pleroma, all by himself. In other words, he's all you need to come to the Father. And so we read in verse 20, "And by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross." What do you need all the created beings for, all the stepping stones for, when Jesus Christ, who is pleroma all by himself, has reconciled us to God through the death of his death on the cross? You know, in the beginning, God and man were connected. Adam and Eve and God had wonderful times together. But when man sinned, it disconnected him from God. Nothing was the same anymore. Man went from being God's friend to God's enemy. God went from being man's companion to man's judge. Man blew it. The disconnect was completely man's fault. God was wronged, period. But Jesus paid for our sins with his death on the cross, and by that eliminated the problem. Jesus wiped away our sin so that we could be reconnected to the Father. In fact, all who receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are reconnected to the Father. That's how it's done. Verse 21, "And you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." The Bible says that the unsaved are alienated from God. And being alienated from God includes not thinking the way he thinks. And that's a big problem. The reason the unsaved, the non-Christians, do what is wrong in the eyes of God is because their thinking is unlike God's thinking. Their minds are darkened. Their reasoning is foolish, which is why their search for a normal life fails. You know, it's like the old definition of a philosopher that I learned back in Bible college. The old definition of a philosopher, a blind man in a dark room looking for a black cat that isn't there. And the unsaved, they are looking for something that isn't real. They're looking for it in the wrong way and in a place that doesn't even exist. You say, well, that sounds like insanity. It's pretty close. Pretty close, because sin affects the soul and sin affects the spirit, but it also affects the mind. 21 and 22. And you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Jesus paid for our sins. Don't ever get used to that wonderful truth. Don't ever take that wonderful truth for granted, because if he didn't, we'd all burn in hell forever. You'd never see family members again. You'd never see friends again. Jesus paid for our sins, and he removed them if we are Christians. Jesus removes our sin, and here's the great thing. He even removes all the stains of sin. He makes our soul as white as snow. There are no scars. There are no footprints of sin anywhere on the soul that belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So look at verse 22 again. It says, he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. Look at this, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. Now think, let that sink in. The Bible says that Christians are holy in the sight of God, blameless in the sight of God, and above reproach in the sight of God. You know what that means? That means if you're a Christian, God will not accuse you of doing anything wrong. You are above reproach in the eyes of God. He will not accuse you of doing anything wrong. You say, well, I thought God was just. So how in the world can he not accuse me after I've done so many things wrong? He is just. Absolutely, perfectly just. Therefore, he would never accuse us of sin if there's no evidence of sin. And there is no evidence of sin, because Jesus removes the evidence when he removes our sin. That's why we are above reproach in the sight of God if we are Christians. 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister, we will be blameless before God on judgment day, as long as we don't quit on Jesus. If our faith in Christ perseveres until the end of our life, then we have nothing to worry about after we die. We'll be above reproach in the eyes of God. Verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you. Paul was sitting in prison as he wrote this epistle, and it was bad, very bad. And he says, I rejoice in my sufferings for you. And he says, and I fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church. He was suffering because of his dedication to the Word of God. And he says, I fill up in my body what is lacking in the sufferings of Christ. Now, before I go any further, I want to be clear. Jesus suffered and died for our sins. His redemptive sufferings are complete. He paid for our sins all by himself. Christians are called to suffer for the sake of holiness and for the sake of Christ, and in order to help get the Word of God out if need be, but we are not called to suffer for our redemption, or to purchase our salvation, or to even help out in that area. And we certainly are not called to offer our sufferings up to God in payment for the sins of some person who's in a supposed place called purgatory. My goodness, you won't find any of that in the Bible. Let's move on. Verse 25. He says, which is the church of which I became a minister, according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Or another way of translating this, I think a clearer way. Paul says, I have become its servant, servant of the church, by the commission God gave me to present to you the word of God in all of its fullness. In other words, the apostle was completely dedicated to preaching the whole counsel of God to everyone that God brought his way. A preacher is not serving the church if he isn't teaching the word of God. I don't care how much talent or education someone has, if they're not teaching the Bible, they're not helping Christians spiritually. I can't tell you how many people over the years have come up to me and said, I have grown so much through the teaching of the Word of God, through Scripture verse by verse. And that is the key. I'm not a scholar. I'm not anything. It's the power of the Word of God. If you just communicate the Word of God, people will grow. And that's why Paul did what he did. And so again, in verse 25, he said, I have become its servant by the commission God gave me to present to you the Word of God in all its fullness. The Word of God needs to be taught in all its fullness. In other words, all 66 books of the Bible are important. God wants us to hear what He has to say. He wants us to hear Him out. And if we don't hear all that He has to say, then we're going to be out of balance in what we believe. Not understanding the Word of God is how heresies flourish. 26. The mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to His saints. God, there were certain things in the Bible that were not revealed by God. The understanding of them was not revealed right away. But they have been. Now, you know, God reveals truth when He's ready and when the time is right and when we can handle it as individuals also. And of course, when it fits His perfect plan. And that's why Christians should concern themselves with the truth that they know and trust God with the unknown. Christians should focus on doing what they know is right today, while waiting for further instructions and enlightenment from the Lord. Worry about what you know, not what you don't know. Worry about what you understand from the Bible, not what you don't understand. You have plenty to keep yourself busy. And so, what is this hidden truth spoken of in verse 26, the previously hidden truth that has now been revealed? Well, let's look. Verse 27. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's it. That's the big news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is inside of every single Christian. And the Bible says that Jesus in us is our hope of glory. Jesus in you is your hope of glory. Jesus in you, in other words, is the assurance of your salvation. Let me ask you a rhetorical question, and I know you know the answer to this question, but here it goes. Will Jesus go to hell? Is Jesus going to go and burn in hell forever? Of course not. Jesus isn't going to burn in hell. And so if He is in you, and He is if you're a Christian, then you're not going to go there either. Do you see that? That's how Christ in us is our hope of glory. Verse 28, speaking of Jesus, Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ, him we preach. Him Paul preached, that's for sure. And Jesus must be the focus. Not some technique, not some program, not some psychological principle. I'll tell you, if a preacher doesn't talk about Jesus, then he's not doing his job. You need to proclaim Jesus because he did the work of salvation on the cross. Proclaim Jesus because he saves people from hell when they put their faith in him. And proclaim Jesus because that's how Christians draw closer to him. And drawing closer to him is how we overcome temptation and sin. 29. To this end, I also labor, striving according to his working which works in me mightily. He strove, and yet he said, it was God's power that was working in me. Here's the thing to do if you're a Christian. Repent of all known sins. Ask Jesus to fill you with the Holy Spirit, to give you a deep love for Christ. Worship Christ, focus on him, and then you know what's going to happen? The good works you do will be a labor of love for your Savior. Oh, it's you working. And it's you choosing holiness. But the power to do it comes from Jesus in you and the joy that results from fellowshipping with him. That's where the power comes from. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Chapter 2. For I want you to know what great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged. Stop there. That their hearts may be encouraged. You know, that's what God wants for Christians. He wants Christians to be encouraged. God's children need to know that God loves them and accepts them just as they are. You know, many Christians feel bad because they fail Christ. And the closer you are to Christ, the more even a small sin stands out to you. So you feel bad because you failed Christ, or maybe you wish you could do more for Jesus. And I suppose God is glad that they care about him, but Christians have to understand that their failings do not affect how much God loves them or accepts them. It's good to strive to do more. It's good to be better, but not to gain God's approval. God has accepted you, and that should be an encouragement. Verse 2, again, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love. The love of Jesus Christ is the thing that knits Christians together. When Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus will be the major force in their life and in their thinking. When Christians are filled with the Holy Spirit, the love of Jesus is going to result in unselfishness and having the best interest of others in view. And it's also going to cause those Christians to speak the correct things, but to do it in love. And so when those things are present by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is the only way that they can be present, by the way, Christians will be knit together. You show me Christians that are bickering and whining and churches that are split, and I guarantee you that there is sinful pride at work and the sin nature is at work, not the Holy Spirit. Verse 2. Again, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding. He speaks of the full assurance of understanding as being a form of riches. The riches of the full assurance of understanding means that there's nothing better than knowing beyond all doubt that you know Jesus. Because when you have that, you have joy. And you're going to feel like a rich person should feel, but doesn't. You've got it all. When you know that you know Christ. One more time, verse 2. Being knit together in love, and attaining to all the riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ. And God's mystery, His secret plan, is Jesus Christ. You know, for thousands of years, God's Old Testament people wondered exactly how God would reconcile sinners to Himself and remove their sins forever. They didn't know how He was going to do that. Well, God had it planned all along. His Son would die on the cross and pay for our sins. Verse 3. Speaking of Jesus, in whom are hidden all the treasuries of wisdom and knowledge. In Jesus is everything that we need to know about anything that is important as it pertains to holiness or our immortal soul and where we will spend eternity. In Christ, we have everything that we need and everything that we need to know. Every time you draw close to Christ through the Word of God and through prayer and through praise, you tap into Jesus and you extract a measure, of whatever it is that you need to know. It just comes from drawing closer to Him. Verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Don't let anyone fool you by their slick talk, or their intellectual ramblings, or their empty, authoritative words. Pay attention to one thing if you're a Christian, and that's what the Bible says. Because everything this book says about Jesus and anything else is the truth. So don't let any fine-sounding argument move you away from it, no matter how it comes across. Verse 5. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit. Look at this. Rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. Remember, He's in prison. And yet He was rejoicing. Why? Well, Paul was happy because these Christians were getting along and because their faith was strong. You see, the things that made Jesus happy were the things that made Paul happy. And that's because he was filled with the Spirit of God. The spiritually healthy, spirit-filled Christian doesn't need a lot to be content. They are content when they see things that please Christ. That's why, all this talk that has been around evangelicalism for the last, 15 or 20 years, all this talk about self-fulfillment. You go to church and you hear messages on self-fulfillment or self-actualization or self-esteem. You go to Wednesday night Bible study, it's the same old garbage in so many places. Self, self, self. Everybody's writing a book, How to Satisfy Self. The Christian's answer to self-esteem. All this garbage, and that's what it is. You know what? All that stuff is absolutely meaningless to spirit-filled Christians. All that self stuff is meaningless to a spirit-filled Christian. Three words a spirit-filled Christian will never say. What about me? They will never speak those words. You know why? It's because they want Jesus to be happy. They want Jesus to be honored, and they get joy from those things. Verse 6. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. If one does not receive Christ as Lord, they have not received Christ as Savior either. They have not received Christ, period, because that's who He is, the Lord. So put to death this talk about receiving Christ as Savior, but not receiving Him as Lord. Salvation belongs to those who have a relationship with Jesus, and that relationship begins by repentance and a willingness to allow Jesus Christ to be the Lord of their life. And if a person doesn't repent, and if a person isn't willing to let Jesus call the shots in their life, then they cannot be saved. And no, I'm not saying that Christians are perfect. However, in order to receive Christ, and the salvation that he brings, one must be serious about making him their Lord. And the sign that one has repented in the past and made Jesus their Lord in the past is that they are still repenting and making Christ their Lord today. It's an ongoing process. You got to repent every day. I would say, I do, unfortunately. 6 and 7. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. We're to be rooted. We are to be rooted and built up in him. You know, a tree receives its stability and its nourishment from its roots, which go down deep into the ground, right? And Christians are told to be rooted in Christ. You say, well, how do I get my roots into Christ? Well, the more we pray and the more we study Scripture, the deeper our roots go down into Jesus. See, that's how we become strong, stable Christians who hang in there with Christ through good times and bad. That is how we can have the peace of God and the joy of the Lord when circumstances would suggest that peace and joy are impossible. Questions, comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. You can email me at versebyverse@live.com. That's versebyverse@live.com. Your questions, your comments, your prayer requests, they are always welcome. Don't forget about Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. Heard every Sunday morning from 8 until 8:30 on WXCO here in Wausau. That's 8 o'clock Sunday morning, 12:30 a.m. on the AM dial, WXCO. 8 until 8:30 Sunday mornings. And don't forget about the Scripture Verse by Verse website also. You can study the entire Bible online using my audio Bible messages. And you can also study using my written commentaries, which are being added to that website regularly. And the web address is thebibleversebyverse.com. That's thebibleversebyverse.com. And also, if you're looking for a place to come and worship this Sunday,